here and worship you. God, I do pray that you go with us in this time of the sermon where we hear your word, hear the message that you've placed on Pastor Tom's heart to speak to us. God, help us to grow from it. Help us to become something that you want us to be, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anyway, it's good. Oh, there we go. It's good to be back, even though we had a in just a few minutes you'll be clapping. You know, somebody once told me, sometimes you clap because it's good, other times you clap because it's over, just so you know. But we had a good time. It was good to be away, but it's also good to be home. And you all know how well I like bridges, right? Anyway, Vicki posted this picture on Facebook about this bridge. And it's just south or west of Tampa, wherever it is. But it is the most horrible, horrifying bridge I've ever seen. I've had this phobia about bridges since 1993. Don't know how it happened. All I know is it happened. And so Vicki posted this picture. And not just one, but two. But it looks like a roller coaster. Anybody ever been on that bridge besides Jerry? And okay, you've been there. And Brenda. And you go up, it's like, you know, just like a roller coaster. And then you get to the top, but you don't hesitate. You just go right down the other side. And so I have a cousin who's a civil engineer. She lives in northern Florida. And she said, "Where's that bridge located?" And so I said, "Somewhere southwest of Tampa. Other than that, I'm not sure. I have my eyes closed." You laugh. That's absolutely true. But she said, "I would tell you the sway on that bridge, but it'd probably freak you out." Well, you know what? You couldn't freak me out any more than just going over that thing. Now, one of these days, I hope to go over that bridge again. But trust me, I'll be on the floorboard hiding my eyes. But it's good to be back. Thanks, Wally, for taking over and doing those things. I appreciate that. But we're going to talk for several weeks about how God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect plan. And I thought that I would be able to get through. Today we're going to talk about Abram. And I thought, well, you know, I'll use one sermon on Abram and one sermon on Moses and another on Samson, but I can't get through Abram in one sermon. So we're going to be a couple weeks with him. But there are differences and similarities between Abram and Moses and us. It all comes down to faith. Do we really trust God? I'm not talking about just verbally when we come to church and we say, "Yeah, we trust him." I'm asking, do we really trust him? Are we really willing to give everything we are and everything we have to him? Are we willing to let him stretch us and move us out of our comfort zone so that we can learn to depend on him? So that we can learn that he is the Almighty God? So that we can learn that he keeps his promises? And what I want us to think about this morning is how God is working in our lives. What's he doing with us? How has he helped us overcome our sin and our flaws through the power of the Holy Spirit? How he's gifted us to accomplish his will. How he's empowered us and enabled us to discover his will and to work out his purposes in our lives. Why does God use imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will? I guess one of the reasons is that there are no perfect people. But one of the things I think we ought to know is that regardless of our sin, regardless of our past life, God wants to use us. You ever talk to somebody and they say, well, God can't? You ever talk to someone who maybe is not a believer and they say, well, I'm not good enough? That there are things in my past that I can't get past? And what do you say to them? Have you ever talked to somebody who's reluctant to get involved in ministry? And they say, I can't do that? Well, let me just make a statement about that. You can't. You can't do that. We're always, we'll do things as long as we think we can do it. Or we'll do something once in a while in response to others asking. You know that Baptist point system that we've talked about before? You all know the Baptist point system, don't you? If you don't, here it is. I need somebody to teach a second grade class. Okay, Catherine, you're it. That's the Baptist point system. Or we have the other the other thing that we'll say to, let's say Jenny, we'll say, can you teach this class? And you say, well, I'm not sure, let me pray about it. Well, I found out that a lot of times when people say, let me pray about it, what they mean is no, they just don't want to tell you right now. Does that make sense? Not you, Jenny. Not you. But I can tell you what, God has often moved me out of my comfort zone. As a matter of fact, when God called me in ministry, that was huge. That's a huge step out of my comfort zone. That's not anything I wanted to do. That's not anything I expected to do. I expected to keep on working my same old job. When God first called me, I said, I don't have faith enough. I have a son on the way. Our first child's on the way. And I was doing all right financially. And the truth is, I didn't have faith enough that if I gave up all that financial stuff, that God would meet my needs. Now, over and over and over again, he's been faithful to us. And I know the promise that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that that's true, and many of you know the same thing. I also know that any promise God has ever kept to me, he will keep for you. He can and will do in your life what he has ever done in anybody else's. So when someone says to us, I'm not qualified, I can't do it, what do you say to them? You know, here's what's been important for me. I look at someone's life who is doing what God's called them to do. I look at their faithfulness. I try to attach myself to someone like that who can mentor me in how best to surrender my life to God, how best to serve in ministry in the area to which God's called me. See, a lot of it is about testimony. When we realize what God's done in our lives, then we can help others get to the point where they can see what God is doing and wants to do in their lives. And it helps to realize, as Abram does or will, that God can do in our lives what he says he will. Abram's an amazing man. God says he will bless the entire human race through Abram. Isn't that a great promise? Stand up with me as I read part of Genesis 12. You ought to be able to find Genesis. It comes first. By the way, just an aside. Suppose somebody says, well, turn to such and such a book, like, let's say, Zechariah. And you're not sure where Zechariah is. The most unused part of your Bible is the table of contents. You don't have to keep flipping through your Bible. Just go back there and say, oh, there's where it is, page such and such. By the way, Genesis chapter 12 is on page 11 in my Bible. I'm just saying. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples we find in Scripture of how you use imperfect people to accomplish your perfect plan. Lord, I pray today that our hearts would be open and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will accomplish in each of our lives today what only you can do. Help us to be sensitive, help us to be open, and help us to be willing to be obedient as we leave this place to live and serve for you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I guess one of the first things I want us to realize about Abram is God called him and what happened? God called Abram and what happened? He went. He was faithful. He was obedient to do what God called him to do. And when I was reading that, I thought about when Jesus called his disciples. Jesus said, "Follow me," and immediately they left and followed him. That's the kind of faith that we need to exhibit. We need to follow God. You know, when God calls us, we don't always understand where he's taking us. And if we knew where he was taking us, maybe we wouldn't go. I think Wally preached. Did you preach while I was gone, Wally, from Jonah? That was the time before? All right. I've been gone so long that it's hard to know. I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again. Jonah means dove in Hebrew. Jonah is my testimony. God called me, and I told God to take a hike. God called Jonah. Jonah did the same thing, didn't he? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. They hated the Ninevites. Jonah knew that God was going to use him to bring revival to Nineveh, and Jonah said, "I don't want them to be saved. They are too wicked." Now, I'm just using my own paraphrase. So he ran. I understand that running. I ran for 10 years. I can't. Basically, what I meant by I can't was I won't. I won't. But there came a time, and I'd go to church. Everything on the outside was okay. On the inside, I was struggling because I knew God had called me to do something. And I'd stand in that church, and I know we don't do it all the time, but in that church, the pastor always gave an invitation. And during that invitation, I would hold on to that pew for all I was worth. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised there wasn't sawdust coming out of it, because I wasn't going to do what God called me to do. I had other plans. I was not going to be faithful in following him. But one day, I was sitting about where you are, Wally. Excuse me. I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, it felt like God was grabbing me by the throat and grabbing me by the collar and saying, "Today's the day. Today is the day." Just like God got Jonah's attention, he got mine. And understand, the very last thing that I wanted to do was become a pastor. But God took an imperfect person, a person who still is imperfect, a person who still commits sin, and used him in a way that really does make a difference. I remember being in a conference in Alabama. I was helping do some seminars on refocusing. And I happened to be a table coach at this table, and at this table was the executive director of the state of Alabama and others. We were going through that, and all of a sudden, he stopped and he looked at me and said, "You are probably never going to pastor a large church, but you will be like Mr. Holland in Mr. Holland's Opus." Anybody remember Mr. Holland? Mr. Holland's Opus? Mr. Holland goes kicking and screaming into being a teacher, because his goal is to write the Great American Symphony. And while he's teaching, he can't get that done. And there were some things during that time where he sinned. And at the end of the movie, near the end of the movie, they're doing away with arts and music. And he sits down and he talks to the football coach with whom he had a horrible relationship at the first part of the meeting, of the movie. And he says, "All this time I've worked here, and now they're taking that away." So he packs up his desk, puts it in a box, and he's carrying this box out, and he has his wife and his son with him. And on the way out, he hears this music in the auditorium behind him. And he says, I don't know what's going on in there, but that shouldn't be happening. So he turns around, he goes into the auditorium, and all these people are there. All these people are there. And they're celebrating him. And every one of them is talking about the relationship, the influence he had on their lives. That's what Abraham will do shortly. He'll talk about the influence that God has had on his life. Now, we won't get that today, but we'll get it in the next few weeks. I encourage you to watch that movie. You can probably find it on Netflix or someplace. And take a look especially at the little redheaded girl. And that's all I'll say about her. I can't give you everything. Just like today, I'm going to challenge you to read the scripture on your own. Anybody ever do that? You read the scripture on your own? You study the scripture? So take a look at these people. So God says, get up and go. And Abram said, I'm going. Y'all know where Abraham was called from? Ur. Do you know where Ur is today? It's in Iraq. It's in Iraq. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? God calls and Abraham responded. So let me ask you this. When God calls you, how are you going to respond? When God says, let's move over here, how are you going to respond? What if, just what if, Jamie, that God calls Lauren to be a missionary somewhere in South America? What if? Can those things happen? What if, Gene, God calls David to be a missionary in Europe? What if? What if he calls Jude or Savannah? I all of a sudden I said that, and Danny, I don't know what he's doing, but all of a sudden his head went up. Is it possible? And how are we going to respond if God calls one of our children? I had a pastor one time, his name was Glenn Hicks. Glenn served on the mission field in Taiwan for 17 years before he came back to the States to be a pastor. 17 years. He made the sacrifice of doing that. And he said the hardest thing for him was when he put his children on a plane to come back to the United States to continue their education. Imagine that. You're faithful in calling and following the calling of God. You're faithful in going to Taiwan to be a missionary. And all of a sudden now, you have to put your children on a plane and watch them go back to the United States and still fulfill the call of God. I'm sure that Abraham made a sacrifice. And so do we. Abraham was called by God to get out of his comfort zone. We like doing things where we are. We like doing things according to our ideas, according to our agenda. We don't like being challenged. Why is that? We don't like being stretched. I don't either. To be really honest with you, I don't like moving out of my comfort zone because it means there have to be some changes. There has to be some changes if I'm going to move out of my comfort zone. I have to learn to trust me less and to trust him more. I have to learn that his promises are always true. I have to learn that it's not about me, it's all about him. God calls us to move out of our comfort zones. When's the last time that you were willing to step out of your comfort zone to answer his call? You see, I'm convinced that God wants us to do things that we can't do. Because God wants to demonstrate his power in us. God wants to allow us to be filled with, well, he wants us to cause us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To depend on him to do things that we could never do ourselves. So how are you doing? Sometimes people are mostly willing to serve God when we're comfortable in doing it. You know, Rick Warren, several years ago, wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and in that book, he said, we need to be willing to do two things. We need to be willing to serve in two areas. One, where we're gifted, and the other, where we're needed. Now, why is it? Bill, was this true at Neal Avenue, what I'm going to say? Why is it that we need people back in the nursery all the time? Why is it that we can't find people to teach our children's classes? You know, once in a while, I hate to change diapers. I haven't changed a diaper in 28, 29 years. I don't want to change a diaper. That's the last thing on my mind. And some people in here said, I've changed all the diapers I am ever going to change. I am not going back there. But you know what? We have people who are back there every week who never get a chance to come in here because people in here won't go back there. An area where you're needed. An area that moves you out of your comfort zone. It'd be really uncomfortable for me to go back and change some diapers. Man. But maybe I should. Maybe I should. What would y'all think? If some Sunday you came in and nobody was, you know, I've often thought about doing this. Get a little track up here. Because, you know, I move around a lot. Get a little track, motorized track, and get a cardboard cutout of me. And this cardboard cutout could go back and forth and back and forth. And we could put a sermon on CD. And all the time this cardboard cutout is going back and forth, and you're listening to the sermon, but the pastor is back there changing diapers where he needs to be. Well, it wouldn't be long before the elders and deacons were called, and pastor would be on his way out. But shouldn't we be willing to do what God's called us to do? Shouldn't we be willing to serve in areas I don't want to serve in, but I'm needed there? It's hard enough to get people to serve in areas where God has called them and gifted them to serve. If everybody in this church, every believer, every born-again person would serve where God wants them to serve, we would never again have need for people to stay and be sentenced to the nursery or to Sunday school classes or any other ministry longer than they should be. Isn't it possible, or isn't it, shouldn't we allow people to be in here once in a while? Shouldn't we come together and worship? That means all of us. Shouldn't we give people a break? You see, that's why we need to go out of our comfort zone, and I am coming back to Abram. Because he was pulled by God out of his comfort zone. He was going to a place he didn't know where he was going when he first started. Some things I like about him, though, God's promise to him. In verse 2 it says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we ought to get on our knees when we read that and thank God for Abram, because we as believers spring from his faith. Every one of us comes from Abram as far as our faith. And we ought to thank God for that. Something else that he did. Abram was faithful to leave. And look what happens in verse 8. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. What did Abram do? God calls him out of his comfort zone. God leads him to a place that he has no idea where he's going. And so what's Abram do? He builds a monument to God and worships him. Let me ask you this morning, why are we in this place today? Why are we here? Are we here to worship the Almighty, Creator, all-powerful God who rules the universe? Are we here to worship Him, or are we here to fellowship with one another? Are we here to worship Him and thank Him for what He's doing in our lives and what He has done in our lives? Are we here anticipating a movement of the Holy Spirit to move us out of our comfort zone? Or are we just here? Because we're expected to be here. Something else about this in verses 2 and 3. God says, I will make. I will bless. I will bless. I will curse those who dishonor me, who curse you. Right here, in other places prior to this, and in all the Bible, all the rest of the Bible, it talks about a personal relationship with God. a personal relationship in which God promises to do certain things. You know, he still does that, doesn't he? God still promises to do things for us. You know, sometimes we get nervous when we share the gospel with other people, but it's not about us. We can't save anybody. But what we know is we love them to the cross, and when they cry out to God, all who call upon the name of the Lord will have, what will happen? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that true? And it might take you out of your comfort zone to share the gospel with them. As a matter of fact, for a lot of us, you know, I'm not an evangelist. I will be the first one to tell you I am not an evangelist. But I've learned to be obedient when God brings someone into my life with whom I can share the gospel. It is an amazing privilege to share the gospel with someone else, whether you see a result or not. See, it's not up to us. Paul watered Apollos watered, one planted, one watered, and God gave the increase. You see, it's up to God to save, isn't it? Take all the heat off yourself. Move outside your comfort zone and look for people with whom you can share the gospel. Just makes sense to me. How about you? Makes sense to you? Anybody awake? Just a thought. Thanks, Sebby. So what God tells Abram is, I will do what I promised to do. I will do what you need me to do. I am starting to teach Bill and Sandy's Sunday school class next week. The book that we're going to start studying is called Beyond Belief. And I looked through the book and decided, it's good chapter one, but I'm not going to spend any time next week on chapter one. That's where we're supposed to start, isn't it? If you're starting a study book, you're supposed to start in chapter one. I'm not doing that because what I'm going to do, if we're going to move beyond belief, we have to know who God is. We have to know what God promises. We have to know how he is at work in our lives. So we're going to spend the whole hour talking about different names of God so that we can understand how we can move beyond normal belief. Hey, if you're not going to a Sunday school class, come on in. We'll move to a different area, won't we, Sandy? We'll move to a different place. You can only get so many people in that room anyway. So the idea, I guess, let's fill the room. Abraham worshiped God. So here's an amazing thing for me. Abraham worships God, and the next thing we read in the scripture is how he sinned. Look at verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. In other words, for those of us in today's vernacular, she was a fox. She was a 10. Everybody who looked at her knew that. Are you allowed, is pastors allowed to say that kind of stuff? It doesn't matter, I just did. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dwelt well with Abram, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. Here's Abram just worshiped God, didn't he? And then in the next, I don't know the time between these two, but the next thing the Bible tells us about him is he lied. I don't find that to be unusual, especially in my life, or maybe, I don't know, especially anymore, but I am most tempted to sin when I'm on a spiritual high. I don't know why that is. But I can remember years ago, they had a state convention meeting. And there was a book by Sammy Tippett. Sammy Tippett wrote what I consider to be the best book on prayer ever written. It's called The Prayer Factor. And I was standing in the bookstore right by those books, and everybody came by and said, You need to buy this book. I didn't get any finder's fee, but you need to buy this book. And Sammy Tippett spoke. And when I was going home, I was flying. I mean, I couldn't have gotten any higher spiritually. And I pulled in my driveway, and I went upstairs, and Diane was in bed, and I walked into the bedroom, and she sat up, and bang! You didn't do that. You didn't do this. How in the world can you possibly have forgotten that? Has that ever happened to you? Here, I'm flying spiritually, and all of a sudden, boom, run into a fence, run into a brick wall. And now, oh, woe is me. Nobody has it as bad as I do. Has that ever happened to you? And so I've learned that whenever I'm on a spiritual high, get ready, because temptation's probably coming. And here he is. He comes out of worship. And he lies. And not only does he lie, he encourages his wife to lie. Now, this is a great man of God, isn't it? He's been faithful. He's worshiped. He's done what God has asked him to do up to this point in his life. And he lies. Has that ever happened to any of you? Abraham devises a plan that did not include God. He never consulted God about what he was supposed to do when he went into Egypt. As a matter of fact, his plan was sin because he left God out. The question for me, I guess, this morning is, when we're looking at things and anticipating things, or we're planning things in our lives, do we leave God out? Is he our last choice? Understand this. Your sin and my sin always has consequences. Your sin and my sin always affects others. Here are some admonitions in Scripture about our sin. Proverbs 12:22 that talks about lying says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Someone once said, in Scripture, I'll give you Scripture in a minute, what you do in the darkness will be revealed in the light. And character, someone has defined character as who you are in the dark. Who you are when nobody else is around. That speaks about your character, and that speaks about your integrity. It speaks about my character and my integrity. What do you do when you think nobody else is watching? And trust me here, somebody is always watching. And if you don't think it's a human being, you're wrong. But I can tell you this, God is always watching. God is always watching. Here's another one. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Psalm 66:18 said, if I regard iniquity or a treasure sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There are admonitions all through the Scripture about sinning against God. And what we need to do is do a little study once in a while and see what God says about sin. Sometimes I think we get comfortable with sin. Well, God will forgive me. Will he? When we repent, he forgives us. When we genuinely repent, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there are always consequences. What happens? Pharaoh is attacked with all kind of plagues. All because of one person's lie. We're going to get to David in a few weeks. You ever talk about, well, it was just a little white lie. It doesn't really matter. It was just a little white lie. You ever said that? Ever hear anybody say that? Let me tell you about little white lies. They might start as little tiny balls of snow, but then they move into snowballs, and then they move into boulders, And pretty soon it's an avalanche. And what started as one little white lie covers you up in sin. Here's something else about those little white lies. Suppose I tell a little white lie to Jerry. And then I tell a little white lie to Wally. And then I tell a little white lie to Crystal. And it's all about the same thing. But how in the world am I going to remember exactly what I told Jerry? And exactly what I told Wally? And exactly what I told Crystal? And it may be sometime they get together and they compare this little white lie. Isn't it better to tell the truth? Isn't it always better to tell the truth? There are some things in my son is extraordinarily gifted. And one of the things he's gifted at is lying. He can tell you, and he'll tell you a story. And the story will be true, and you know it's true up to a point. And then all of a sudden, the story begins to be embellished. And it goes up here. And now you know he's lying to you, only he thinks you're believing it. I've come to detest lying. I understand Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. If you always tell the truth, if you always do the right thing because it's the right thing to do all the time, then you won't run into trouble in that area. You'll have sin in other areas, but that will not be one of them. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I want you to know God is still going to use Abram. He's going to use Abram in amazing ways. He's going to bless us through him. He's going to give Abram a child when he is 100 years old to fulfill the promise that he made that he will make great nations out of who he is, out of his seed. God can use us in spite of our imperfections. God can use us and will use us in spite of our sin. As a matter of fact, he gets more glory out of using an imperfect person than he ever would if there was a perfect person, and there isn't. You know, I never thought I was a fool. I always thought I was reasonably intelligent until I read the Bible. Especially that part that says that God will use fools to confound the wise. I guess I'm there, and I guess you are as well. God wants to use imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. So the question is, will you allow him to do that? Will you allow him to do that in your life? You know your sin. Every one of us has some kind of sin in our lives, and I'm convinced that every one of us has sin in our lives that we don't want anyone else to know about. Not our wives, not our children, not our husbands, not anyone. We have that secret sin that we don't want anyone else to know about it. And the only way to get rid of that secret sin is to allow the Holy Spirit to open the door of your heart and to cleanse it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So here we are, a whole group of imperfect people. And my question is not only for me, but for you. Are we going to allow God to use all the imperfection he finds in us? All the flaws, all the faults, all the foibles that we have. Are we going to allow God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to do in our lives with us as imperfect people what he wants to do, his will, his purposes? You see, that's a question only we can answer individually. I know what my answer is. You know what your answer is. And if our answer isn't, I surrender all, then we need to reconsider some things. Either God is on the throne or he isn't. Either God has the power and the desire to move us out of our comfort zone or he doesn't. Either God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can clean us up and make us acceptable and deliver us from all the sin in our lives, or he doesn't have that power. We get to choose here, don't we? He either does it or he doesn't. And if he does, all praise to him. Thank you. that you've used me, an imperfect person. And some of you know I'm more imperfect at sometimes than others. Some of you may think, and you're right, that I'm imperfect all the time because I am. You know that pastor evaluation thing, Jim, and I wish I'd come back here and slap you. Because he said we have that pastoral evaluation form we're supposed to have in on October 9th. And he says, I don't know what, but we already have a perfect pastor. Let me be the first one to tell you, we do not. And you already know that. Especially David back here. David, stand up once. Here's how I'm going to really prove I'm imperfect. One day, turn around here, David. One day, this right here, whoosh, gone. Imperfect. David will think I'm imperfect, won't you? He'll probably think a lot worse than that. But I've threatened him ever since he's a little boy. And all of a sudden, he just always says, no, you won't. You gotta love her, but I'm not sure I want to. But let's go back. We are imperfect. But God wants to use each one of us in a way that is beyond our understanding. A way that is beyond where we are comfortable. And so I guess the question is for any of us, are we going to allow him to do that? Because I believe that the more God stretches us, the more he builds us. The more he stretches us and uses us in the church, the more he builds the church. The more he stretches us, the greater opportunities he gives us to share the gospel with others. Allow God this morning to move you out of your comfort zone. Realize you're imperfect, and you can't, but he's perfect and he can. Y'all believe that this morning? Here's where you need to look up and say, I'm awake. I heard this.
Heard it.
Amen.
Amen. Some
of you are still sleeping, that's okay. Pray with me this morning. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the example that you've given us through men of